The first reading this morning is from Psalm 133. How good it is and pleasant when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This is the word of God.
My reading is from Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful what you do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we thank you that you call us to follow you, not individually, but together as your people. And as we think about your body this morning, we ask that you would guide us, that you would speak to us, that each one of us would be encouraged, be challenged to know you more and to serve you more. In Jesus' name, amen. And also that my voice would hold out. It's decided this morning to just start going, I don't know why. So it's Sticker Sunday. Have you learnt any new names yet? Well, I was thinking about this and I found a website that got 5 top tips for learning names. Okay, so here you go. This might help you. Firstly, the first thing to do is to meet and repeat. So when you meet someone and they tell you their name, try and get their name into the conversation. So, you know, but the thing to remember is we don't do that too much. So if people are like, hi, Rob, how are you doing, Rob? Is it all right, Rob, if we keep going, Rob, like this, Rob? No. he's going to shoot me in a minute. No, that doesn't help, does it? Do it sparingly, but do that. The second thing is spell it out. So, for example, if you've got a visual memory, then ask them to spell it to you. As long as it's a more complicated name. Some of you know the story when I said to someone, because I'd forgotten their name, how do you spell their name? And they said E-double-M-A, and I was a bit embarrassed. But do it if, you know, it's helpful for visual memory. The third thing is associate. So, for example, if you know someone is a musician and they're called Mavis, you could call them Mavis the musician. Maybe not to their face. But that might help you as well. The fourth thing, make connections. So if you know someone who's got the same name, then maybe use that. So, for example, if you meet someone and they've got the same name as your brother or sister, that might be a way to link it together. And the final one, which I think is really good, is this. Choose to care. That's the fifth one in terms of learning people's names. Apparently, most psychologists and memory experts say that one of the main reasons we forget someone's name is that we're not really focused on learning it in the first place. Ooh, because there's too much else going on. You know, there's lots vying for our attention. And I read someone else put something in a blog that said that they realised they were more interested in putting their name across than the person who was talking to them. That's a challenge, isn't it? It's a way to think of it. And in some ways, that sort of links into what we're thinking about today, because we're not really thinking about the individual. We are a little bit, but we're more thinking about all of us. All of us. So when you saw the title body image, maybe you sort of sucked in your stomach and thought we were going to talk about our own body image. We sort of are, but we're going to think more about the image, the body image of our whole congregation. And we're going to look to do this at Romans 12, which is one of my favourite passages in the Bible. There's so much in it, we're not going to be able to focus on all of the words in there, so it might well be worth you taking it home with you and reading it over the next few days. And I'm going to focus mainly on verses 3 to 16, because that's where I feel that we're going to think about the body in this case. But if you want to hear what I think about the first few verses of the passage, then listen to a couple of weeks ago sermon in the evening on our new website, which is now out. So do have a listen to that, and you'll find out a little bit what I think about that. Now, it's interesting because you know, because we say this quite often, that when we get the Bible, particularly our NIV, we see that there are headlines in it, don't we? We sort of like have little title sections. And when we get to Romans 12, I really love a couple of them. I love the living sacrifice one. I love the love in action one. I can't think why. But the other one, humble service in the body of Christ, I get why they've done that. But have you noticed that at no point does Paul actually use the phrase body of Christ in this passage? So although it is a similar metaphor to what he uses in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Ephesians, this passage, although it is about the body of Christ, doesn't actually use those words. It's more about the image of the body, the human body, and what that sort of says to us. Of course, the metaphors are similar, and I will probably find myself using the words body of Christ this morning, but I just wanted to point that out. And what we're going to do with this passage this morning is we're going to use three points to get us thinking. The first one is that we are part of the body. The second one is that we are to love the body. And the third one is that we are to serve the body. That's what we're going to think about this morning. So first of all, let's think about what Paul says about the fact that we are part of the body. There we go. It's an example there. Let me read from verse 3. So by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We've sort of seen that this morning in some ways in those testimonies, haven't we? Stories of different members of the body of Christ. And I love what Zoe was telling us about those lads and the way that they were feeling part of something bigger than themselves, part of the body, in a sense. But the thing we need to hold on to in those verses, in that passage, first of all, is that Paul says it to everyone. He says, I say to every one of you, which means the verses that follow are really important for every single one of them. Every single one of us, that every Christian needs to remember that we're not just an individual Christian, that we are part of something bigger. So if you are having a conversation with someone about whether they should come to church or not, because, well, they say, I'm a Christian, I don't need to come to church, there's a way of arguing and saying, well, hang on a minute, you're part of something bigger. And the reason that we are part of that body, Paul says, is because we are in Christ. In Christ, we are one body. In other words, we are united in Christ. When we know Jesus, we are in Christ. We are united in Christ and we are part of this body, but like a human body. We are part of that body only because of Jesus. So you could say that unity, therefore, is a spiritual thing. It is something given to us by God. It is only in Jesus that we are united. But what is also very clear from this passage is that we are very diverse. Just have a look around for a moment. Just look around at the people to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you. We are a diverse bunch, aren't we? We're all very different. Isn't that good? Wouldn't it be boring if we all looked the same? We're all different shapes and sizes, different heights, some shorter than others, some wider than others, some male, some female, all sorts of different things, lots of different gifts to bring to the table. And I love that because in some ways diversity is a mark of our Creator. You know, you only need to look at a bunch of flowers. Look at these flowers here. There's lots of variety there. They're diverse. We look around at the world about us. There's so much diversity around. A mark of the Creator. We are a mark of the Creator. But even though we're diverse, because of Jesus, Paul says we are one. And so what does that look like? Well, that looks like the church. You might go, it does, the body of Christ is the church. You might react differently there. You might think, oh, I don't know about that. I don't like the word church. It makes me think of, I don't know what it makes you think of. But if I then said to you, how do you describe the church? What would you say? This afternoon we've got a CTK Connect event, and one of the things that we talk about is that when we belong, it's important that we recognise that when we talk about the church, that we say we and us rather than you and them. So when we are part of the church, we're a part of the body, say in this place here, it's important that we recognise that it's about us, not them. That's really key. And I love the fact that we're thinking about this in our sort of 50th year, our Jubilee year, because it's us. Whether we were here at the very start, or whether we've come in the last week, or somewhere in the middle, it's still us. It's still we. It's us together. We are part of the bigger picture. I love the fact that I am part of all those who have gone before us. I'm part of the body of Christ with all those who have gone before us. A bit like we were thinking last week with Hebrews 12, with those saints cheering us on. We are part of that. We are part of the body here, whoever we are, however different we think we are. We are united in our diversity in Christ. One of the ways that we're going to do that over the coming year, because it's our Jubilee year, is we're going to have a day of Thanksgiving right at the end of February. I think it's the 24th of February, whatever the Sunday is. And what we'd love to do is to celebrate all that God has done in us and through us and with us. So at the end of the service, you're going to be given a little postcard which has a speech bubble on it that says, thank you, God, for. And we'd love you to take that home with you and then write something or draw something. The children can write or draw, whatever it might be. Stick a picture on it, whatever. And bring it back on that day, and we're going to have a big wall of thanksgiving that we can all add our thankses, our thanks to, and then we can read them. And won't that be a wonderful picture of all that God has done in us and through us, whether we've been here a few minutes, whether we've been here 50 years, because we are all together part of the body here. And what is amazing, actually, is that being part of the body is a blessing. So we have that reading from Psalm 133, and you might think, oh, that's a bit of a weird reading. It talks about beards and oil. I don't get what on earth is all that about. Well, I sort of felt a little bit like that. So I read it and I thought about, you know, thinking about what it means. And that psalm highlights the blessing that is lavished upon us by God. And that blessing is unity. He's talking about the blessing of unity, the blessing of being together. It's great when we're together, isn't it? You know, it reminds me of the BT phone ad from the 1980s. We want to be together. Okay. It's about being together. It's about unity. And in that psalm, David, who probably wrote it, uses two metaphors to describe what that blessing is like. He talks about that first one with the oil. And it's a weird image in some ways of oil going down a beard. But what it's saying is this is not a little bit of oil that you might anoint someone with on their forehead. This is a lot of oil. If it's poured on Aaron, who's a priest, on his head, and then goes down his beard onto his robes, That's a deluge of oil. I mean, that's the sort of amount of oil you'd need to deep fry something. That's a lot of oil. It's an extravagance, isn't it? That's the sort of blessing that unity is. That's the blessing that being together is. And then he uses this other metaphor of dew. Dew, which of course gives life miraculously in some way. And in a dry and parched context, like when the Israelites were in the desert, it gives something of a real blessing at that moment. And actually, when we think about that context of a dry and parched land, doesn't it feel like that in this nation at the moment? This nation, this world? But even in this dry and parched land, there is a blessing that can be found in being part of the body. There's a blessing that can be found in being united, in being part of something so amazing. And I believe that actually when Zoe was telling us about those lads, they were experiencing a little bit of that blessing. A little bit of that blessing of being together, being part of that family. That's what it means to be part of the body. And we must never lose sight of that, must we? Must never lose sight of that, however hard it can be at times. So how are you part of that body? Are you part of that body? If you're not, I encourage you, come to Jesus and be part of that body. So the second point is this, that we are part of the body and therefore we're to love the body. Paul says in verse 10 of chapter 12, be devoted to one another in love, honour one another above yourselves. So we're called, says Paul, to love one another. Now, of course, we know that loving the body doesn't mean we have to agree with everything, but that we are called to love each other. It's not rocket science, that, is it? But it can feel as hard as rocket science at times to do so. Because we know that loving one another, loving the body, loving those who disagree with us, loving those who have different ways of thinking about the Bible and all of those sort of things can be really difficult. It can. But we are still called to love somehow. I don't believe it's a coincidence that when we look to Paul's other writings, when we look at 1 Corinthians, for example, and his letter to the Corinthians, the first one, that when we get to chapter 13, which is that amazing chapter about love, love is patient and kind and all of that, that is flanked on either side by a passage about being the body of Christ and then being the body of Christ worshipping. It's not a surprise, not a coincidence that between those two, Paul puts that passage on love. Love needs to be right at the heart, right at the centre. And so we always need to ask ourselves that question, do we love the church? Do we love the body? Well, actually, Jesus shows us what to do. If we go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, which is that passage about husbands and wives, and we get a little bit about that passage sometimes. Jesus, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her. That is amazing. We need to remind ourselves of the fact that Jesus loves the church. So do you love the church? Do you love the body? The fact is, we cannot love Jesus and hate the church. It's impossible, because we can struggle and we can find the church difficult, but the church is the body of Christ and we are part of it. So if we hate the church, then we're hating ourselves and Jesus. So if you love Jesus, then it follows that you love the church, because it's the body of Christ. We know, of course, it's not always easy. We also know that we can love people and not necessarily like them. That's okay at times. Kate Wharton last weekend at the Winter Glory Conference said this, if the church is the body of Christ, how dare we speak badly of it? That's a challenge. I know I've failed on that at times. So do you love the body? Do you love the church? If you do, how do you show it? Well, Paul gives us lots and lots of examples of how we love the body in this passage. And there's no way I can go through all of those this morning, but I wanted to just very briefly highlight two ways that Paul does this. They happen to both begin with H. So there we go. The first one is that Paul talks about harmony. In verse 16, he says, live in harmony with one another. And maybe because I'm a musician, I sort of cling on to that image of living in harmony. Because when I think about harmony, one of the things that maybe some of us are aware of, some of us aren't, is of course when we sing a tune together, we're singing in unison. So we're all singing the same notes. When we're singing in harmony, we're adding more notes that go with the tune. So what we have is diversity there, but working together. So it creates something even more beautiful, actually, when we have harmony going alongside it. But the problem is that sometimes we get a discord, we get disharmony, and that can create a clash. It can sound unpleasant. But one of the things I do when I teach instrumentalists to improvise on one instrument And I say to them, look, if you find yourselves playing a note and suddenly you go, oh, that's clashing, oh, that doesn't go with what everyone else is doing, I say, just go up or down. And when you go up or down, it'll match. And you will find that you are in harmony with those around you. What we're doing at that point, of course, is we're compromising. We're recognising others. We're modifying our own behaviour to make it fit with others. It might be still diverse. It might still be part of the harmony, not the melody, but it matches and it goes. Isn't that love? Isn't that how we love? Sometimes we need to do those things. The second thing that I wanted to just highlight briefly was that Paul says in this passage, practice hospitality. How do you do that? How are we doing that? I wanted to share a very brief story about something that happened to me a number of years ago now, before I was ordained. And I was working in a church, and I decided to invite a couple of friends around. They didn't know each other, so I sort of introduced them to each other, and they became best friends to the point where they cut me out. It felt like they cut me out. They didn't, but it felt like they cut me out. And I hadn't realised until I went to theological college just how much of an impact that had on me, because I was really struggling to invite anyone round for dinner because of that incident, because of how that had made me feel. So I had some prayer ministry, and that really helped, and I did begin to invite people round. But do you know what? I still find that hard. I still do find that difficult. And I tell that story not because I want to give a reason why I haven't invited you around for dinner yet, but because it shows how easy it is to feel hurt by the body. It is, isn't it? It's so easy to feel hurt by the body, for it to affect our image of the body. But we have to find ways to move forward. Love can mean needing to forgive, to do something else. Sometimes it's about recognising that we need to grow ourselves, to get prayer ministry, whatever it might be. But we need to do it. But let's practice hospitality. Paul gives lots of other examples of how we might show love. One of those is to rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who are mourning. And boy, if we had to do that here recently. Paul says, live at peace as much as you can. It's God's job to judge. And there is so much more in this passage. Read it. Take it home with you. Read this passage. See what God is saying to you about how you can show love to the body. So the final point then is that Paul says that we are to serve the body. Let me just read from verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. First thing to say is that these are spiritual gifts. It's what Paul means by according to the grace given to us. All of them are gifts from the Spirit. But have you noticed that every single one of these gifts is about others? Because these gifts are not given for us to look good. They're not our possession or for our own glory, but to help the body function, to serve and build up the body. And so how we use these gifts is just as important as using these gifts. Paul says, give generously. So if we're giving, give generously. If we lead, we need to do it diligently. If we're showing mercy, helping others, we should do it cheerfully. Of course, this is not an exhaustive list of all the spiritual gifts there are. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 as well. But it's clear that whatever gifts we have, we're to use them. Because Paul says, if it is serving, serve. If it is teaching, teach. Yet we have a bit of a problem, don't we? Milton Jones, you may have heard this quote before, talks about the church being like a giant helicopter, that you don't want to get stuck in the rotors. Waiting for that to hover. Oh no, sorry, that's bad. That's sometimes how it feels, isn't it? Sometimes you feel, oh, I don't want to have to do that for the next 35 years. You know, it's that sort of feeling. But that's not what it's about. Using our gifts is not about rotors, it's not about jobs. It's about love. It's about service. It's about the body. Sometimes I think we sort of have a barrier to offering gifts, and maybe that's one of them. Maybe it's because we don't want to look big-headed to offer our gifts, or that someone else is already doing what we feel we are gifted at, and we actually find out that they're doing 17 other things, or that we don't think we can do something. But what is it that we need to remember here? These are spiritual gifts. They are given to us by God. It's not about our abilities. It's about God and His Spirit. So maybe what we need to do is point out to one another the gifts that we see in them. So maybe that's something you could do this week. Who could you encourage? Who could you say, I've seen you doing that, and I really feel that maybe God has given you a gift in that. That's how I ended up getting ordained, actually. Other people came up to me and said, Eleanor, I see a gift in you in that. I fought it quite a lot, you know, but actually God said, no, that is what you need to do. Maybe you're not sure what your spiritual gifts are. Why not ask someone? Spend some time with someone. Chat to me. I'm happy to do that. There's booklets at the back, actually, that have got a little survey at the front that you might want to fill in that might be quite useful. If you do know your gifts, are you using them? How could you use them? Being part of the body means serving the body. And of course, I do need to say, there are times when that can be very difficult for all sorts of different reasons. Pressures on our time, things going on for us in our own personal lives. But we're still called to use our gifts. And God understands when there are times when we can't do that. Today, in a moment, we're going to be commissioning our new pastoral visiting team. And I believe each one of them is gifted and called by God to serve the body in that way. Just as the Love in Action team are fantastic at supporting people through a long period of time, particularly practically. Or our musicians are amazing at using their gifts. Or those who are good at hospitality or administration or are working with children. All sorts of different ways are good at using their gifts. And so at the end of the service, we're going to commission that team. But I want to commission all of us, because all of us need to be reminded, don't we, sometimes, that we are part of the body, that we are called to love the body, and that we can serve the body. And the most amazing thing is that when we love, when we serve, when we realise who we are, amazing things can happen. Listen to these words from Jesus to finish. Words of Jesus from John 13, after he had served his disciples. He said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And so my challenge and encouragement for each of us today is to acknowledge that we are part of the body, that we are to love the body, and that we serve the body. Because when we do that, Jesus says, many will come to know me. Amen.